Log Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 welcome. It's good to have you with us. All right. Now, that's a whole flurry of clicking right there now. Amazing. Tonight we're going to be talking about dreams again. And it's going to be a good program tonight. How do I get dreams working in my life? That's a very, very, very valid question that you and I can ask, should ask, ought to ask ourselves about any of the topics that God gives us to begin to study. Thank you, Lord, for revelation. Now, how do you get it to work? Now, these principles I'm going to give us tonight are the basics of anything that you got to get happening in your life. And how do you get it to work? You mix the word with faith. That's how you get it to work. You mix the word with faith. We're going to talk about that. We're going to study it. It's very, 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 very simple to make this happen in your life. So here's what we're going to do. Excuse me. Goodness, what a start. Wow, what a start. Wow. So I want us to start tonight because I can tell where I'm having opposition on this end tonight that's got to be dealt with right at the beginning. So here we go. I'm sharing my screen. And we're going to begin with a couple confessions, prayer confessions, things in order. And let's see. Shared screen one when I wanted screen two. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. Just got a little bit more work to do, that's all. There we go. Wow. The apps are having a good time tonight. Here we go. This is our dominate technology. Here we go. I will not be denied. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, have your way here tonight in everything that we're doing. Everything. Have your way here tonight, Jesus. We magnify your holy name above every name that there is to be named. We give you glory and honor and praise that you're doing a mighty work in our life that we have never, ever seen, never seen before. And we give you the glory and we give you the honor and we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, here we go. We'll make this declaration together. Now, when we do these, it's very important that you say it with us at home. Because when I say it and you say it, that's two of us in agreement. Now, there have been times when we've made our confessions and had our Zoom people with us making it, but that doesn't work because then their camera pops up. And I haven't learned how to shut that off because then it moves the screen from this to them. So our Zoom people won't be saying it out loud with us on air, but we'll be saying it in the background, because where two or three of us agree touching anything, it will be done of the Father in heaven. So when you turn on your computer and you sit here and you speak it, then God goes to work and begins to make it happen. So here we go. Dominate our technology. We declare all of our equipment and technology function properly every day, 24/7, because we are walking daily in the righteousness of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. From Genesis 1, 26 through 28, we are fruitful, we multiply, we subdue this earth, and we take dominion of our internet signal, our electronic devices, and every satellite that is necessary to make it work. We declare technologies function properly every time we turn you on. We know that the Holy Spirit is the greatest, most longest reaching, most powerful satellite system there has ever been, and He, Holy Spirit, functions 24/7 for all believers. Thank you, fathers. Our phones work powerfully no matter what. Everything we do as a ministry succeeds unhindered, unchecked by any outside force of man, technology, or spiritual enemy. Thank you, Jesus, for your example that you dominated all realms of authority, spiritual, human, and earthly, all throughout your ministry. And we walk in your footsteps now. We declare a perfect program today and every day to the glory and the praise to your wonderful name. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We declare a perfect program today and every day to the glory, honor, and the praise to your powerful name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Now, we're going to stop this share and open up our next one, because we've only got, what is this, the third? We've only got 3 days? No, five days left. I keep thinking it's on the sixth. We've only got 5 days left, and the election's going to happen. If there's ever been a time that you and I needed to pray for this great nation, it is now. And I encourage you, and several of us here at our ministry are fasting, I encourage you to fast and pray. I mean, get serious. Not just go on a diet and pray. Fast and pray. The purpose of giving up your food is to cause the body to be the appetites of the body, that there's nothing wrong with, cause them to come into control, and all of that effort be focused on praying for the nation. That means don't just give up your food. Go pray. Get along with God. Make it happen. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a challenge, because the distractions will try to come very seriously. They truly will. And you'll have to realize, I've got to put these distractions down no matter what. And I'm not going to be caught up with petty things that have no significance in my life because of what we are getting accomplished. It is time for a red wave of the blood of Jesus to cross this nation and to bring righteousness to this nation, no matter what, no matter what. And there are millions of Christians who are praying. There are millions of Christians who are praying. And you and I have an integral part in that every day. Now, I'm going to share my screen again, and we will, got to share this one. We'll make our confession that we normally make. Thank you, Father. I always want to sing three cheers for the red, white, and blue, but I won't because we don't have time. If you will, rise together with me, and we'll make our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence in honor of those who are missing in action and those who are still serving today. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence is in honor of every wounded veteran who, because of combat, carries the scars in their spirit, soul, and body. Moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. If you will, let's speak together, God Bless America, the song. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And now, our opening prayer that we pray every time we come here. Good evening, Sonny. Good evening, our dear friend, Diligent. Good to have you with us tonight. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence on this earth today in Jesus' mighty name. We fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless our partners and each believers in each of these nations. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift our arms, our hands together tonight. We declare in Jesus' mighty name, may every believer around the world that is standing in the gap praying a prayer for the world to be blessed till the day you come, and they're changing their world by believing in you. In the name of Jesus, we hook our faith with theirs. We declare, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Malawi, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Uganda, Tunisia, Oman, United Arab Emirates, Bulgaria, New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, Nepal, India, Pakistan, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, Kazakhstan, China, Romania, and all the nations of the world who are with us that we can't see, but you're listening every day. God bless you, our dear friends. The commanded blessing of unity, Psalm 133:1-3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil. Wow, it just poured all over me when I said that. Running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. Look at that line. The Lord commands a blessing on our life. Just pause and think about it for a minute. The Lord commands a blessing on us when we dwell together in unity. We have the keys of the kingdom. Jesus, we proclaim, you are the Christ. Jesus says, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. As Jesus instructs, I want you to see these three slides together. Let me just go back here. The commanded blessing that comes on unity. We just lifted our hands and agreed in faith with everyone around the world. So there's a commanded blessing that comes on that. Then Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Then here's Jesus again saying, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Two different situations. What is he doing? He's establishing this. Verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. You and I have God right in the midst of us. Now watch this. Ephesians 4:1-3. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Look at 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, why do we have to endeavor to keep the unity? Because the Spirit that is against, the spirit of division that's against it, wants a foothold. Because if division comes, then unity can't happen. And when unity doesn't happen, then we don't get this commanded blessing that we just spoke about right here in our confession. Now, all believers are one and the same in God our Father. Think about it. Man has denominations. In God, there's no denominations. It's our verse 4. There is one body and there is one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord. Say it right out loud. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift that you put in my life. See, every night when we do this, the Holy Spirit is teaching us the principle of how to get faith in our heart. Those of you who are actually at home making the confession with us, the more we say it, the more faith you build in your life. And the statement is you feel better and you feel more together The more we say this, the more you feel together. And the longer you're here each night, the less the cares of the world, the deceitfulness, riches, all that stuff gets out of your way. Why? Because you're speaking the word out loud. This is the process and the principle to change every part of your life. Speak the word out loud. Because that word has designed in it its own anointing to bring itself to pass. We say these together every night. Because I'm declaring this into the realm of the Spirit by assignment of God. When you join with me to do that, then we are gathering the splintered parts of the body and bringing it in together. And unity is coming, and division and sectarianism is broken. Father, we bless the fivefold ministry all across America right now that has got a church service, got a revival service, an evangelistic crusade, a political rally, a rally to stop these proposals, whatever they're doing, that are standing up and doing it in Jesus' name, according to the Constitution, because this nation will be saved. We bless them now. Help them use their gift, Jesus. Help them use their gift. Help that grace that's on the inside of them that you gave them and you put on their gift, make it flow. May the wicked flock to the righteous and say, I got to get away from those people in the name of Jesus. The fivefold ministry, the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher. God bless them tonight as they minister wherever they may be. We speak life into those services in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go, verse 11. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Say it with me. That I may be filled with all the fullness of God. That we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Do you find yourself being tossed to and fro? Well, the Bible says that as a child, you got to mature, develop, you got to grow. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders. But speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body. Thank every one of you for being here with us. Mary and Rebecca and Roger and Sunday and our new friend Diligent, welcome. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Welcome. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which each part does its share, this growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every child that's been aborted cries out today. Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert our justice system and destroy our children. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of this nation. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. God bless America tonight in Jesus' mighty name. In case you haven't read it lately, let's proclaim it together. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. As we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fallen fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. Declare it boldly. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, we'll get this share down here. Do you ever just have a weird noise in the background of your house? It's like, wow. Now, the next thing I'm going to do is we're going to have, I'm going to make this confession here. Whoops. Pause just a moment. It's actually a prayer. And you may say, Pastor, we don't usually make this many prayers and declarations. Well, we're in a very, 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 very important place of history. And you and I must stand in faith, be in faith, work in faith, walk in faith. We must. And so I want to speak my faith boldly. And I want you to speak it with me. Now, this next portion that we're going to speak, I mean, you don't have to, but I'm going to use it. This next portion that we're going to speak talks about God's judgment and his mercy. I ask God to judge the wicked and the perverse, and I ask God to show mercy to them. The foundation of God's throne, and we'll read the verse. I guess I'll just share it now so you can see it. I guess I'll just share it right now so you can see it. The first verse here that we're going to be speaking is Psalm 89:13. So you can see it on your screen now. And just give me just a second here. I want to. Don't worry about this. I'm just going to do this so I can increase the size of this font a little. Because it doesn't hurt it to be larger. That way, we can all say it together. And you can see it on your phone. Psalm 89:13-15. Righteousness and justice must be functioning hand in hand for evil to be brought into check. There's a lot of people in our day that are glad that Jesus loves everybody and they have the ability to get all their sins forgiven every time they sin. Well, that's good, but how about you just get the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in you, and then you don't have to sin. That's another whole message we just preached. Verse 13 says, you have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Well, what's the sound? Righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. When all there is mercy and there's no justice, then the wicked go. And they're unrestrained. You and I can be righteous, but if there's no justice, they'll call righteousness wicked and wickedness righteous. And that's where we are. Because justice hasn't been served. And the very foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice, mercy and truth. So in this confession, we're going to pray some very bold words as we the people saying, bring these people to justice. Every person that was on that island with Jeffrey Epstein ought to be in prison right now today. Every single one of them should be in prison right now today for the wicked debauchery and murder that they caused. I'm not ashamed to say it. If you don't like me saying it, I'm not going to apologize. And if that causes you to go away, then find somebody that will preach a softer gospel than what Jesus taught. Because Jesus looked this snakes, vipers, and hypocrites in the face and called them that. It is time America stands up for righteousness, justice, and mercy and truth. And I encourage you, I don't want you to go away. I want you to stay and get the revelation that's being taught here. I know I'm being very strong tonight on this, but it's because we are at the end. And God's throne doesn't change. It doesn't change. When we get to heaven, righteousness and justice are still going to be the foundation of his throne. And if we miss it on earth, we don't get the benefit of it in heaven. Here we go. So, Father, as we start this out, may every person who is deceived, by this wicked perversion, may the eyes of their understanding become enlightened. May the truth hit them. Give them dreams and revelations every night in their sleep. In Jesus' mighty name. Sanctify them by your truth, Lord. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We turn from our wicked ways and seek your face. We, the righteous, are as bold as a lion, and the wicked flee when no one is pursuing them. Flee, wicked, flee, because we are pursuing you. Thank you, Father, that we have access by faith to come boldly to the throne room of grace. Thank you, Father, you told us we are the restraining force on this earth until the rapture happens. Since we're the restraining force, guys, that means we got to get busy and deal with the issues. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names that can ever be spoken, we speak to these powerless names: abortion, humanistic perversion, and political corruption. You are restrained and destroyed. Father, give the political and spiritual leaders who forgive the political and spiritual leaders who are so willing to watch America die and do nothing to stop it, but act on purpose for her destruction. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them. We ask you to remove them from their offices and replace them with God-loving, righteousness-filled, passionate American patriots who will get busy during their term in office and crush this perversion and purge it from our nation so it will never happen again. Complete the doing of it, Lord. Wicked leaders, be tried, convicted, and your sentence carried out immediately for your perverse corruption against the Constitution of the United States of America. May the vile wickedness of abortion actually be seen by everyone so that a nationwide outcry happens and justice is brought to these wicked, perverse atrocities immediately. We bind the spirit of Baal. Everybody pause. Baal was the false god in the Old Testament that demanded the blood sacrifice of their children. They would put it in a device, and it was mechanical, and it would lift up and crush the baby and drop it into the fire, and they would give birth and give that child to Baal, so that the false god, who don't have no power to do nothing, would transform their lives. We'll say it again. We bind the spirit of Baal that is demanding a blood sacrifice of our children. That is what abortion is. We are the children of God. And as Jesus would say, silence, only voice that is omnipresent. We declare that we the people, the American citizens, silence perverse voices immediately. We shut them off and turn the channel. In the name of Jesus, we are standing in the righteousness of Jesus and are as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Romans 5:17 says that when we receive the free gift of righteousness, we will reign as kings in this life. Most of all, Jesus, help them all come to know you so that their eternal destiny is heaven in the glory of our Father, not eternal separation, torment, and damnation. From the love of the Father, the door is still open. Enter in. Wake them up with dreams and visions of their eternity. Bring these workers of iniquity to their senses like you did with Saul of Tarsus. Thank you for your mercy, love, and grace. Forgive us for the 65 million deaths of our precious sons and daughters. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us. Have mercy on our young ladies, and now even the senior citizens who've had abortions. Help them as they humble their hearts. Repent to you. Receive your love, your mercy, your grace. We bind the trauma that happened in their lives on the day of the abortion, and we declare, Jesus sets you free. We speak life more abundantly to you today. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We declare they have dreams and visions of their babies in heaven, celebrating with God the Father, awaiting the return of their mother. Thank you, Father, that your mercy endures forever. Bring your justice, your judgment, your recompense to everyone involved in the abortion industry who knows exactly what they're doing and yet with great purpose refuse to turn from the wicked ways. The blood of every American warrior cries out for liberty and freedom from this atrocity. The blood of our babies cry out from heaven that this ends now, and life more abundantly is lifted up in the United States of America. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood speaks a better word. End abortion, Lord, once and for all. We declare no more bloodshed of our innocent babies. End abortion, Lord, once and for all. We declare no more bloodshed of our innocent babies. Father, paint America red with the blood of Jesus in this election. Then empower those elected to get busy and get the work done immediately. For such a time as this, they have come to this kingdom. As a we the people, we declare no more political corruption gains are allowed in Washington, D.C., on either side of the aisle. You are our employees. We command you, defend the Constitution and complete the assignment for which you were hired. And here's the assignment: to establish a more perfect union, to establish justice, to ensure domestic tranquility, to provide for the common defense, which will promote the general welfare, cure the blessings of liberty. We already know what a man and a woman are and which bathroom they should be entering. We, the church, have joined together and we stand in agreement against political corruption in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across this earth, seeking whom he may show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are right towards him. We know, yes, we know you have heard this prayer. We know we have this petition that we ask. We call it finished. We give you glory, honor, and praise for the blood and the righteousness of Jesus that gives us this boldness and confidence as we pray this prayer. You are alive and well on the inside of us. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. America shall be saved by the power and the will of Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Well, here we go. Now, our message for tonight, teaching, is dealing with dreams. Now, if you have a question about the justice and the mercy of our God, I declare all of our technologies function properly. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you have a question about that, the justice, the righteousness and justice being the foundation of God's throne, I encourage you to type it in one of our chat boxes here, either on YouTube. Huh. Isn't that something? I declare all of our technologies function properly. Text it in one of the chat boxes and then I'm not sure if I will get to it tonight, or if it's something that we'll deal with on Saturday night. Wow. Okay, everybody hold on. I gotta do something here. I gotta get my notes up where I can see them. Saturday night we have a question and answer session. I could probably answer them tonight, but I really want to get to this word that God gave me for this evening for us, because I really want to see you getting dreams and visions working in your life. Because that's such a powerful verse, and we're going to pick it apart a little bit. We've been talking about how God has used has used dreams and visions in the righteous and in the wicked's life. And I think it's pretty cool because God gives the wicked dreams and visions also. Well, here we go. And he does it for his glory. Most certainly he does it to bring them to their senses and cause them to change. But he also does it to bring glory to his mighty name. And we'll see that as we go through this. We'll study a couple more of those. And we'll be able to show that to you, you know, as we go through it. Well, there. Just work. You're my computer. You belong to me. So just work. Some of you have never spoken to your computer or your car or to anything else like that. But I recommend it. It's a really good choice because the power of life and death is in your tongue. And that means speak it. Speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it. Because you get what you speak. If you're speaking death, you get death. If you're speaking life, you get life. If you're speaking confusion, you don't get understanding. If you keep speaking, I don't know, I don't know, what do you think is probably going to happen? You're probably not going to know. However, if you begin to speak, the Holy Spirit is showing me confusion has to go because he's the teacher and the reminder of all things in our lives. So, here's how this is working. I think that's a good question, board, that I'm gonna approach right now. I think that's a very good question. And there's probably a lot of other people that have that same question. Wow. I command you apps to work effectively in Jesus' mighty name. I know how to work you. All right. Why is abortion being talked about all of a sudden? Well, of course, abortion is 50 years old, and 65 million babies have been slaughtered, offered to this God of Baal. And so prayer warriors have been praying very diligently ever since it became a law that we would stop slaughtering our children. There's no reason any longer. There's never been a reason for any of us to ever use any other word but the word slaughter, because that's what it is. So what has happened right now what has gone on right now is because of the Supreme Court's recent decision overturning Roe versus Wade that made it legal. They said it's not a constitutional amendment, and it was wrong when it was created, and it should be overturned. Well, I want you to think about this. 65 million children over the last 50 years would have been born in America. How many inventors? How many great politicians? How many great finance, business, education? How many great preachers, ministry people would have been born in that last 50 years? And they aborted them. And so because of the Supreme Court's recent decision saying it must be overturned, it is not constitutional, then it kicked it back to the states, and now the states have to make a decision about it. And, of course, as soon as they kicked it back to the states, there's so many states that come out with the most perverse, vile, wicked amendments to their state constitution and pushed them through as though they had signatures in this short period of time to get this on the ballot in 1 year. Michigan's one of them. I'm not sure of all the other states. California's one of them. And I don't know all of them, but they're perverse. Proposal 3 literally strips parents. Proposal 3 in Michigan strips parents of their parental rights. And you can't have that. And you can't, there's no reason. And it takes away all of the medical guidelines of somebody who is performing an abortion to be safe or sterile. And that person, if they kill you, they don't have no retribution. That's vile. So the reason it's in the news right now is they overturned it, which is rejoicing that our prayers have beaten down this the God of Baal. And we have severed whoever made a commitment to Baal back then. We have severed that, and it is no longer in strength. So naturally, when we, the spiritual force of righteousness on this earth, when we stand up and begin to say, this is what's going on, the forces of wickedness go violent on it. So naturally, there's this big discussion, and there's a big battle about it, and the perverse become more perverse. And you can see them out in the street, these people that are running around with babies with their heads cut off, like blood spattered all over them. That's the vileness of Baal. Now, let me say another thing about this. Jezebel, Ahab, gave themselves over to the God of Baal. So the Jezebel spirit goes along with abortion, the killing of babies. Now, think back through the Bible. A deliverer was coming. His name was Moses. And what did the enemy stir up in the wicked king? Go kill all the children, all the males, because they were becoming so strong in Egypt. Go kill them. When a male child is born, the midwives were told, you must kill him. Why? Because the enemy knew a deliverer was coming. And Moses was in that. Of course, Moses, Jochebed and Amram, they took him out and put him in the river in a little boat, floated him down to the princess, and she raised him. Just like God, whenever there's wickedness and perversion in the nation, God raises a deliverer, and he makes the wicked raise him. And so today, right here in America, there's thousands of women who themselves have had abortion and became a part of the abortion industry that have said, I was wrong. I am not doing this. Even though right in the middle of that whole thing, they turned their way back. We saw one here about 6 months ago. Brother Gene had him on Flashpoint. And the lady was herself taking part of 25,000 abortions in her lifetime. And God turned her to realize exactly what she's doing is shedding innocent blood. Well, when Jesus, the deliverer, came, what happened again? Pharaoh said, oh, there's a king. Or not Pharaoh, but whatever that guy's name was. He said, when the wise men came to him, Herod, he said, oh, there's a king born? And then the wife and left didn't tell him about it. And there's a king born, and so what did he do? He killed all the babies, the male child, 2 years old and younger. And so now that we have seen it overturned, then it's in the news, and it's a major issue. And there's so many states that are voting on these wicked vile abortion amendments and guidelines, or whatever they call them, that you and I, the church, must become very bold and very strong. Now, that's going to lead me into one of my verses for tonight. So I want us just to go there. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. I seem for some reason to be real dry tonight, so I apologize that I'll be drinking throughout the night, but I'm not quite sure why. I must not have drank enough early. Well, I guess that's the case. I had a meeting today and only drank one bottle of water, so if you're wondering, I'm just fluidizing myself. You ready? Hold your Bible up. I'm going to make Dr. Barclay's confession tonight. I want you to say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
Thank you, Mary. Pastor Rick, I love you.
You're very welcome.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
No, I'm off the pastor's. Hold on. This is my Bible. I believe what...
Junk.
Say again?
I am what Jesus says I am, and Jesus don't make junk.
Amen. Now, I got to get back to Dr. Barclay's confession. Everybody pause for a minute. I got to remember it. There we go. No matter what people say...
No matter what people say.
No matter what my circumstances say.
No matter what my circumstances
say. No matter what the fiery darts say.
No matter what the fiery darts say.
I am a believer.
I am a believer.
Therefore, I am a receiver.
Therefore, I am a receiver.
I do believe.
I do believe.
I will receive.
I will receive.
Absolutely everything.
Absolutely everything.
God has for me tonight.
That God has for me tonight.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, guide our lips to speak from the holy, inerrant word of God. The will of the Lord for this time. Draw thousands of people to this video, Jesus, not for numbers, so that their life will be transformed. So that this word will be able to get in their heart and the absolutely confusing situations around them will go away. Confusion. I bind you in Jesus' mighty name. And you will not stop the people of God from coming to this teaching tonight. I declare you make the statement. I'm not arguing with you anymore. I'm turning on this. You go in the other room. Say it. I'm not doing all that other stuff. I'm going to study the word of God. Some of you need to say it right now at your home because there's a bunch of distractions trying to stop you. Hey, nothing else. Take your tablet and go to the bathroom. They'll leave you alone. Just flush every now and then. It'll be all right. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, not to be soon shaken in mind or trouble, either by spirit or by word or by letter, if from us, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had already come. Somebody was there saying the rapture had already happened. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, it says falling away, but the better translation is catching away, all right? Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, those first four verses are this. Paul said, don't listen to anybody saying the rapture's already happened, because it happened. You and I are still here. When the catching away happens, then the Antichrist comes on the scene. All right? And he doesn't even get a good foothold or start the mark of the beast till halfway through the tribulation. And there's another rapture at the center point of the tribulation. Now, verse 5. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he points to the Antichrist, which is described in verse 4, that he may be revealed in his own time. So that's 3 and 4. You see it. You see revealed. I like to do this. I'm going to circle. I have revealed circled here, and I'm going to draw a line up in my Bible to verse 3 that says revealed. I hook the two revealed words together. That he may be revealed in his own time. All right? Now you know what is restraining. Well, that means evil and wickedness are restrained on this earth. It don't look like it, but it's seriously restrained on this earth. What's going to happen the hour after the rapture is what unrestrained evil is going to look like. And it's going to get real serious, real quick. And you better, if you don't miss the rapture, but if you do, you better get your Bible out and start studying real quick. And you better give yourself to Jesus and say, I'm sorry, I'm playing games and I missed it, because it is not going to be a good thing. Because as soon as righteousness and the restraint of the ecclesia, the body of Christ, is removed, every wicked force of the enemy is going to be cut loose on this earth. That's why I'm teaching so diligently the righteousness of God, the blood of Jesus, and now this revelation about dreams, so that you and your family members have dreams that cause them to turn to God immediately. 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 I have family members that I don't believe are right with God. And it scares me. It scares me. We grew up in a Christian home, in a Christian family, that loved God, walked with God, it diligently followed God, trained in the things of God. And it alarms me what I see. And I'm like, how do I get to them? And I don't seem to be able to. And when I saw this about you and I praying to have dreams ourselves and for them to have dreams, you're standing in the gap making up the hedge, and they're having dreams right now. I know they are. And I know you are. Because I'm praying diligently every day for us to have dreams and visions. Look at verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, notice that he is capitalized. He who now restrains will do so until he, capital he, is taken out of the way. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the church. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. The word ekklesia is broken down into this word, the governing body of authority on this earth. We are the body of Christ, the governing body of authority on this earth, and we're restraining the force of this wickedness, and until we're taken away in the rapture, that wickedness cannot come forth. It cannot. I made a video, I don't know, in March or something, maybe April, March probably, when Putin started to attack the Ukraine or whenever that was back then. And he began to really scold Israel for shooting rockets at the different people that were bombing them. And I made a video that said, man, if you're not ready, get ready. If your family's not ready, get ready. The door is closing, guys. This thing is down to the end. You cannot in any way play a religious game. This is your eternal destiny with a relationship with Almighty God. You must learn to crush the enemy under your feet now. You got to stop depending on everybody else to do it for you. It is time for you to grab yourself by your bootstraps and say, get your stuff together. Pastor Sam can show me how to do it. I've been doing it for 2 years right here every single night. Why? Because we're the restraining force. If wickedness and perversion is still happening in our community and righteousness isn't getting a foothold, then we got to learn something about being in God and walking with God and speaking the word of God, because since you're in that community, the ecclesia, the restraining force of God is in that ecclesia, and it's in you, and it's trying to get out into your community. All through the pandemic, we taught you to drive through your community and lift your hands outside the windows, or, you know, out to the neighborhoods, drive through the housing neighborhoods and apartment complexes, and just speak life and life more abundantly. Why? Number one, it got you out of the house driving around. Number two, it got you using the power and the force that's in here with your mouth, speaking John 10:10, life and life more abundantly into the community. Well, when that happens, every time you drive by a house and somebody in there is speaking life, they're emboldened in their prayers because you went and spoke life. Every time you leave your house, declare, I'm blessed when I go out. And every time you walk in, say, I'm blessed when I come in. Everywhere you go, speak life to that situation. Why? Because that's what God is asking every one of us to do. Every time you sow that seed, and that seed of your word of faith goes into somebody's life, it is added to your crown in heaven. And that crown is what you're going to receive when your works are tried by fire in heaven and you present that crown at Jesus' feet. That's why it's such a ridiculous doctrine that God wants you to suffer like Job or have a thorn in your flesh like Paul and just suffer with it all day. All the days of my life should be suffer, 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 suffer. You'll never be a mighty force in God if you just suffer, suffer, suffer. Job's problem lasted for 21 days and went away. Paul had a thorn in the flesh because he had great revelation. If you got the thought you got to suffer for Jesus, you don't have any revelation. That thorn isn't in your flesh because of revelation. Jesus died and suffered once for all so that nobody else ever had to suffer. Pastor, you seem like you might be a little hard on that. Well, not hard at all. It's time we see what is limiting us so that all of these prayers that we're praying actually begin to have an effect on our community and things change. You and I are not just here to look cute and holy and right. I'm a cute little Christian. Don't you like it? I dress up when I go to church. Me and my family got me a new dress and a new hat. They don't have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Please do it if you go to church. But we go to church to get trained by the word of God, by a fivefold ministry gift, so that we can leave there and go into our community and change that community. Woo! I'm preaching really good tonight, flowing in the Holy Spirit, even if you say amen or don't. Brother Roger, give me a great amen or something. Mary Pastor Rick, shout or get up and dance or something. Well, I gave you guys a chance to say amen so I could take a drink.
I just couldn't get back to my screen. So I'm going to say amen, 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 amen.
Amen, amen. Now.
Where is everybody?
Oh, they're all here. We got a whole flock of them over on YouTube. Brother Dan's over on Blog Talk Radio. Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, we sure love you guys. We bless you. We thank you for your foundation force that you are right here at the Community of Faith. Love you guys. Bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's grab another verse because it is of absolute importance that we see the reality of this. I may not be in dreams at all tonight. I'm working real hard to get there, but I don't think I'm getting there. Now, our dear friend Board, who's diligent, if that didn't answer your question, ask me another one about it. I want us to go right now to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. You know, I know you may have already wrote it down, but let's do Matthew 24 first, and then we'll go to 25. Matthew 24, and that'll be verses 3 through 14. 3 through 14. Matthew 24. 3 through 14. Thank you guys for putting verses in. I really appreciate that. I really do. Thank you so much. It really helps people that come here to be able to be connected to exactly where we are. And then those in the future who will come back and they get to see the chat running on the side. That really makes a difference. Here we go, Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when all these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age." Now, sounds like Jesus finally got them to understand that he was going away and that he would be coming back. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you." Wow, that's a thought, Father. My goodness. I said it a minute ago. I'm going to say it again right now. Our place once we're born again is not to join a church and look like a cute little Christian family. Let no one deceive you. I'm not telling you you're not going to get to heaven. You probably will. You probably influence a few people around you. But if that's all you see yourself as when you get to heaven and your actual works for the kingdom are tried by fire, your crown may not have very much in it. And our place on this earth is that you and I should be changing this world for the kingdom of God. Now, there's a lot of people in your community where you live right now tonight that is kneeling at their couch or kneeling by their bed, those of you in Eastern Standard Time, and they're saying, God, I got to have an answer. And they're praying it right now in your community. I got to have an answer. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me find you. And you know, Jesus said, you are the light of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. So once you and I are born again, God is trying to get that light and salt that's in you into your community. He's working to get you to influence those you work with the light of the gospel and the salt. What's that mean? Flavoring, seasoning, taste of God. What does salt do? Tenderizes meat. It flavors, it seasons, it thaws ice. We'll take meat and they used to put it around a ham, and it preserves. That's what you and I are supposed to be being, supposed to be in our community, light and salt. So if you're like some and you're hiding your light, don't do it. It's not about church. It's not about did I go witness five times this week. It's about just letting your light shine wherever you go. Jesus said, city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And so we're the restraining force. Now, you just ask another question on here. What could have been done to prevent abortion in the past? Well, the number one thing that could have been done is that believers didn't look at politics and say, that's for the sinners. Believers shouldn't be there. And that was told over and over. And where that indoctrination began to happen, I'm not sure at what point in the history of the United States where that began to happen and Christians began to say, politics is just too dirty. Believer doesn't belong there. What happens when the believers left politics? Samuel Adams, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, all of those founding men, every man that signed that Declaration of Independence, everyone that signed that was a man of God. Most of them were Sunday school teachers in their church. So when the believers left politics to the wicked, then guess who ruled the politics? The wicked. The turn of 1900s, socialism began to be brought into the nation and say that it's right, we should begin to accept it. Communistic Party was allowed to have a presidential candidate on the roster. Are you kidding me? So that's when it began to happen. And when we left politics, the believers, then the politics went to hell. And had the believers been in there strong and powerful, the House and the Senate would have said, no way, you're not doing that. But we had let it go. Soon as they took prayer out of school and they made abortion legal, well, now the believers began to wake up and say, wait a minute, we got to get busy and do things. And then there was a severe struggle in the church saying, believers shouldn't be over there. That's just wicked. Get out of there. Who taught believers to say you shouldn't be there? Not God. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach were political leaders. Joseph was a political leader. Esther was a political leader. And you can just go on down through the whole list. All the judges became political leaders. David was a political leader. Samuel was a prophet, but he was a political leader in the fact that as a prophet, he never one of his words ever fell to the ground. So we dropped the standard of righteousness, and therefore all this perversion has been allowed. And it's taken the depth of this perversion for believers to wake up and say, I better get on the school board. I better get on the ballot watch committee. I better get myself out there and be the dog catcher and the mayor. And I better get up and get moving because God told me to do it a long time ago. And there you go. We're changing it, though. God has millions of prayer warriors around the world who are standing in the blood and the righteousness of Jesus. That blood of Jesus is more powerful than any force of wickedness there is on this earth. It doesn't matter what they say or what they do. And the more we, the believers, stand up in our community and we speak about the blood of Jesus washing away every sin, we speak about the righteousness of God living on the inside of us and coming out of us. Right now, every day, all of us ought to be saying, paint America red in the blood of Jesus all across this nation. Paint America red with the blood. You know what that means? Everybody says, well, Pastor, you're just saying paint it red with Republicans. No, I'm saying paint it red with blood bought, blood washed, righteousness-filled men and women of God that cannot be stopped. And God's name will be lifted up. And prayer will be in the House and the Senate. And they'll get back to the righteousness of God. The fear of God will be in the sessions of Congress. That dear lady that's prayed in every session of Congress for the last 25 years, been so faithful to it, that lady's done more for America than anybody could ever imagine, because she sat in the upper chamber and silently prayed to God for the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus to be lifted up. In Jesus' mighty name. Wow. What a session we're having tonight. I'm going to have to change the title. I just don't know what I'm changing it to. Let's keep reading. Verse number 4. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. I bind deception tonight. I bind you in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. No matter what you're trying to say in the ear of anybody that's part of this gathering, you don't get to say it. Your plans don't work. They're destroyed by his blood. Your plans don't work. They're destroyed by his word. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And no weapon formed against us can prosper. And every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is from Jesus. That's Isaiah 54:17. For those of you writing verses in. 5. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. 7. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. You and I are seeing that all over the world. All of these are the beginnings of sorrow. They'll deliver you up to tribulation, and they'll kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Now, I want you to write right in your Bible right there after verse 10. Write Luke 17, 1 through 5. Now, I want us to go there and read it. Because Jesus said, many will be offended. Well, let's see what Jesus means. And we'll do that by studying Jesus' word on offense in Luke 17, 1 through 5. He said, that's not 1 through 5, it's 1 through 6. Somebody wrote a wrong note in my Bible. 1 through 6. He said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. You shall forgive him. Now, seven times in one day, that's pretty severe. That's pretty severe. You probably ought to not be around that friend as much as what you were. That's pretty severe. So verse 5, and the apostle said, the disciple said, Lord, increase our faith. So Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What was Jesus saying? When somebody comes and continue to offend you, make sure you say to that tree, I forgive you. I drop the charges. And then put some distance between you. And if they do it again, I forgive you and drop the charges and put some more distance between you. And if they do it again, say, I forgive you. Drop the charges. Brother, you got to stop. There's nothing wrong with looking at him saying, you've got to stop. Your mouth is continually running. You got to stop. You're creating for yourself a hole in the pit. There ain't nothing wrong with saying that. But Jesus said, still forgive him. And you do. Seven times in one day. But what will happen? Your heart will be free. Remember, forgiveness is never about the other person. It's about you. You got to get your heart right with God. Because if you don't forgive them, then God forgive you. You can't. Because he has to give you, you have to reap what you sow. And if you sow unforgiveness, then that's what you have to reap. And you'll reap it from the Father. Back to Matthew 24. Wanted to make sure I showed you those verses. If you guys could put that in there, Luke 17, 1 through 6. So that's in the notes. Luke 17, 1 through 6. Appreciate your help. I do. Here we go. Let's go down to verse 11. Matthew 24:11. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Why? Because lawlessness is everywhere. If you don't control, well, that used to be the on-off button on your TV. If you don't control what comes across your TV, as soon as that perversion shows up, you switch the channel. If you don't control it yourself in your own home, it will have an effect and cost you anointing that you so desperately need in your life. I'm probably like most of you. You got a smart TV, and when it kicks on, depending on what you have, they got all those channels up there, and they've been having that perverse drag queen thing up on the top of the screen on mine every single day. Well, I just point at it, and I lay hands on it. I say, in the name of Jesus, you're coming to Jesus, to Christ. You're going to repent of your sin. You're going to make it public. You're going to bow down and ask everyone to forgive you for your wicked vileness. And Father, give them a dream in the middle of the night and get them off my TV because they got born again in the mighty name of Jesus. But we do not allow you to be the goal or you to be the entertainment that we have in this nation another day. Not for our kids, not for our young men or young women. Your vile perversion must go in Jesus' mighty name. I do it every time. And then I go to YouTube, only channel I ever watch, and click on that and put on my worship or put on preaching so that we can grow and develop in God. What would you do? If every American shut off the TV when they started speaking their garbage, they would have zero ratings and their empire would crumble. Shut it off. Keep reading. 12. I'm in Matthew 24:12. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. After World War II, the whole world was focused on God. Because it took prayer to stop Hitler, stop Japan, stop the wickedness that was there, the perversion that was there, trying to overcome the whole world. And millions of people's lives were lost. When we came home, we were glad for peace. We went to church. In the 50s is when the healing revival began with Dr. Oral Roberts. A.A. Allen, Amy Simple McPherson was having a mighty crusades then. The tent meetings went up all over the United States. People were coming to God in mass numbers. People were being healed everywhere. So that happened. And then the charismatic renewal began to happen. And Pentecostal renewal happened. I'm not sure what they call it, but it began to happen in the 60s. And into the 70s, but I haven't been down this road in a while. I better get my words out. When the big rock and roll concert happened, where the Beatles were at it, that lasted for days. They ushered in that day the age of Aquarius. They stood right on the platform and sang it. Well, that is all demonically run. And so that's another one of the turning points where America turned. And we begin to listen to rock and roll music that is with perverse words. If you stop and listen to the words of many of those songs, you would never hum its title and you would never sing the song ever again another day. But what has everybody said? What has the church taught people to say? Oh, I don't listen to it for the words. I just like the beat. Exactly. Lucifer was the minister of music in heaven. Many scholars believe he had sex with any that the music came out of. Woodstock, that's what I was talking about. Yes, thank you, Roger. So what is the enemy's tactic? Get you to listen to that vile stuff. You don't realize it, but in the background of your mind, you meditate in those words. You sing them. And when you start thinking about what they say, They're against the word of God. They should not be words in a man of God or a woman of God's life. I like rock and roll music. I got rock and roll gospel music heroes. Yes, I do. If you want to have some really good rock and roll gospel music, text me privately. I got a playlist on YouTube that'll rock your socks. I love it. I love a screaming guitar. I love it. I do. I love a harmonica. I'm a kind of a soul man. I love soul music. But I'm not going to listen to it when it's got words that cause me to go to hell. See, Jesus said how many times here, let no man deceive you. And that's how they're deceiving us. By what we watch with our eyes on that TV screen. By what we hear in our ears when we're listening to music. By what we speak with our mouth when we sing those songs. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak and you will get by your own words. We studied it last night in the parable of the mining. He said, I will judge you by your own words. God is just. He's fair. And you and I are down to the end. And I really believe that right now in this time when we're fasting and praying for the United States of America to come back to God and for God to paint this nation red in the blood of Jesus, because the men and women of God that are being elected are men and women who are covered by the blood of Jesus. And they're men and women of God that won't violate the ways of God. Thank you, Father. Just like Carrie Lake, just like Tulsi Gabbard, stand up for your Christian testimony and leave the wicked and come to the side of the righteous. And God will bless you for it in Jesus' mighty name. I don't know that any of them are listening to me. I'm proclaiming it into the realm of the Spirit so that it can come to pass right here on this earth. Now, Matthew 25, let's read this. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Here's the amazing thing about all this, guys, is that you and I get to pray for all of our loved ones to know God, and we say, Father, I've endeavored to tell them myself. They know my Christian life. They know who I am. Something's got them bound. Something's got them bound. Help them to see tonight in a dream, in a vision, in a revelation, and seal. That's what that verse says in Job. He seals his instruction in their heart of how to find him. And it causes them to turn from their wicked ways. And it keeps them from the pride that would keep them from coming to God. Pray those verses out loud over your family every day. Pride is what keeps you from Jesus. While we're fasting, deal with your pride. Don't give your flesh what it wants. Don't give it to it. I made a declaration myself personally between me and God of what I was going to do in my fast. It don't have nothing to do with any of you. I made a declaration myself of what I was doing. And as you know, when you fast, here it comes. Exactly what you said. Here it comes. And what comes is exactly what you love. And my flesh is like, do it. I'm like, I ain't doing that. I am not doing it. I'm going close to God. Flesh, you shut up. I will not give you what you want. I am giving you the word of God. I'm teaching my body, feast on the word of God. I'm not saying that for credit. I'm saying that to teach you. Tell your body, feast on the word of God. Jesus said, my meat is to do the work of him who sent me. Jesus said, eat my flesh, for it is life. This is what he was talking about. Devour the word of God. He is the living word. Live in it. Read it. Read it out loud so your own ears hear you reading. And it becomes life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. Today, I had a meeting today. And they decided to have the meeting at one of my most favorite buildings in the whole city, the coffee shop. Anybody want to say thank God for coffee? Did you guys see that meme this week? Coffee came out in whatever, 1300 or 1400. And be careful when you have a preacher that has access to coffee. And right next to it, it says Martin Luther nailed the 99 theses to the wall. And it was the same year the coffee got to him, and then he nailed it. Don't worry. I love coffee. And especially a coffee shop because they're continually grinding it. I love the fragrance of it. You know how many mocha lattes walked by me this today while I was in that meeting? Woo! That's a busy coffee shop. There was a bunch of them. And my flesh said, it's not food. It's just coffee. I'm like, no. No, that's you speaking, flesh. Shut up. You don't control me. Because when we teach this flesh, you are not in control of my life. The word of God, I am the spirit. I have a soul, my mind, will, and my emotion. They obey me, the spirit. And my spirit is in perfect communion with God Almighty. Spirit to spirit. There's no distance. So flesh, you're what gets in the way. My body is what carries the spirit around. And my soul is just what I use to function on this earth. You got to have a mind. Have an intelligent mind. Study to show yourself approved in God. Read. But don't read useless stuff. Don't read romance novels and all that garbage. That ain't going to do you no good. Study this book. Read the word of God. Read books about the word of God. And make sure in that book they point you to the word of God. Because that is the answer that is in our life in these last days. I'm not bragging about fasting. I'm teaching you a lesson so you can see it with my own example. You don't know what I'm doing? You don't know my fast? You do know I'm fasting for America, and I say that so that you will join us. Because America shall be saved. As a matter of fact, don't have my paper. Father, it's 9 o'clock, top of the hour. Father, forgive us of our sins, Lord. Heal our land. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. The 65 million abortions that we know of. Forgive us, Jesus. That's wicked. That's vile. That's perverse. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us. Heal our land. And abortion. Send revival to the United States of America. We thank you in Jesus' name. America shall be saved. Matthew 25, verse 1. I'm going to read it. The parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. You remember, we studied that one night before the wrath. We studied it. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Brother Dan, do you have anything to say about this? Because you're about to go off, so if you wanted to make a statement, if you click into that other mode, you can. But I'm not saying you have to. I'm just checking with you before Blog Talk Radio goes up. That's up to you if you do. Seven, all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. The wise answered and said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. For those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, they knew where to buy. The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, open up to us. He answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. 13, watch therefore and prepare, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Think about it, guys. You and I know where to find life in the church. We know. We are born again. We are not the lost or the confused. I want to read one more set of verses. I've totally just followed the Holy Spirit tonight, so. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leadership here today. We receive it. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to read 14 through 22. Revelation 3, 14 through 22. Now watch this. This is to the angel of the church of Laodicea, which corresponds with you and me. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Look at 15. I know your works. I want everybody that's here to realize this. God knows our works. He knows them. He doesn't know them when you confess them. He knows all of your works. He knows your motive for being here tonight. He knows you came here seeking. And it's a sombering thought. I got to pay attention to my works. And if they're not honoring God, I've got to get my works of my daily life honoring God. Look what Jesus says. You're neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold or hot. I will vomit you out of my mouth. That means vomit with great force. Because you say, I am rich. I've become wealthy. I've need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I'm not saying that to those of you who are foundation group here. You guys are not those people. I'm speaking these verses because we're going to reach somebody tonight. Thank you for being here and saying amen. Help me get the verses. And on the back side of this going, well, there it is. There it is again. I know you don't say hallelujah to all this, but thank you. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. Buy from me white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. See, the five foolish virgins knew exactly where to go to get the oil. They were virgins. The reference point is they were virgins. They were born again. They were the righteous. They knew God. And they knew where to get the oil, but they were too busy just being the bridesmaid. And they didn't get oil. It's possible to hang around with a bunch of other bridesmaids. And not have any oil. They have an abundance and you have none. What did Jesus say? Right here. Come buy from me gold refined in fire. Well, that's you and I walking through life and the refining happens in your gold. You can't buy it with money. He then said, buy from you garments. White garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with oil so that you can see. And Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Jesus said it's given to you. Do this. Say, I receive. I receive the understanding and the knowledge of the mysteries of God. He said he gave it, so receive it. How are you going to buy righteous robes? You can't. You receive Jesus into your life, and those robes come upon you. And they're called the robes of salvation and the robe of righteousness. The garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. And it becomes because you receive it. It comes because you receive it. Many of you will want to listen to this message again, because it's a message of great revelation to you. I have no idea how to title this yet, because my title for tonight is not what it was. But it's all right, because tonight somebody showed up that needed this word that I just gave, or maybe 10 or 15 of you. And my titles don't matter. I don't have an agenda, but that the Holy Spirit would flow through me to you. I have sensed an anointing on me all night long as I'm ministering. So even though this message might be a little more somber, because the reality of judgment is in the message, that always happens. Remember that if you're walking with God, judgment's not coming to you. The wrath of God is not on the sons of obedience. It's on the sons of disobedience. Paul literally said, the wrath of God does not come upon the saints. It just doesn't come. It's not going to happen because Jesus is going to bless the lives of all of those who are walking with him. Now, I do want to go back to our verses in Job. Just before we go there, let's look at this. It's Romans 13:14 is one of the verses that I was speaking of. Nope, I grabbed the wrong one. Come back. The wrath of God. Oh, yeah, it is. 13:4. And an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. The wrath of God is reserved for those who commit evil. Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So you don't have to worry about it. You and I are in a relationship with the Almighty God. Job chapter 3. Hi, love. Three cheers for Sister Leanne. Hip, hip.
Hi, honeys. I'm home. Good to see ya.
Thank you. Good to have you home. It's good to have you home.
I'll be with you in just a minute.
All right. Glory be to God. Job, we're going to end in Job. After everything we just said, we're going to end on a really, really good word right here. I'm really working to be done earlier, guys, so that all of us can get more sleep and have some more time to be alone with God. And just because that is a very important process for all of us, is to be alone with God and to meditate the word of God so that our relationship with God is growing into a relationship of oneness. Now,
amen.
Here's the good part. John 17, that was a great revelation for me, still is. Where we realize we're one with God. So Job chapter 33 has fixed a doctrine in my life. Because somewhere I got to where I just kind of, oh, it's just a dream. And yet I have had a reoccurring dream that was very frightful. I'd wake up sweating and scared. It was a bad dream. Thank God for this revelation, because this is life-giving. 14. For God will speak in one way or in another. Say it with me. God is speaking.
God is speaking.
And yet man does not perceive it. God's speaking, man doesn't perceive it. 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon man while he's slumbering in his bed, may deep sleep come upon every one of you today. Then he, that's capital, God, opens the ears of men, seals their instruction I love it. Why? In order to turn man from his deed. What deed? Evil deed. That deed that will lead you to the pit, eternal damnation and torment. While you're sleeping. So he's going to seal their instruction, turn you from your evil deed, and conceal pride from you. What's that mean, Pastor? Keep you out of pride. Pride is what keeps anybody from coming to God. Conceal the pride, Lord. Don't you love it?
Mm-hmm.
His soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. I speak it over every one of you that came here today. Speak it over every one of you. Ready? Then draw the net. I draw the net right now over every one of you that heard these words. You will not run from God another day. And I declare over every person that has ever been on any of our social media platforms that a dream and a revelation and an inspiration comes to you, a vision in the middle of the night while you sleep soundly. I pull in the net now, and I declare in Jesus' name, you come to God because you understand his love, his mercy, and his grace. Say it with me. Amen, Pastor.
Amen.
And I send that out to all my family.
And I send that out to all my family.
That's how this kingdom works. You got to work it with your lips. If you don't open your mouth and say it, it can't come to pass. Speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it. In Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the question, Lord. Caused us to think. Thank you. I pray this video gets into the hands of thousands and ten thousands of people. And they speak every bit of this word. And it goes out across this world into many places. We don't have no agenda for our name, sir. We want your name to be lifted up so that people's lives will change and transform. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit in and on our life. Thank you for your manifest presence all the way through this whole program this evening. We bless you now as we receive these communion elements together. You ready? Let's sing this song together. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be that living sanctuary for you, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be that living sanctuary for you. Jesus, you said that you longed to receive that communion elements with them We've been longing for it all day long. And we receive it now. In your mighty name. Amen. And amen. Now, I'm going to go one more time, at least, to Exodus chapter 12. Because it hit me the other day. It hit me. God said to me the other day, people don't know where communion comes from. So, this is just as much the first communion service as any of them that we receive. So we might as well read it and get the word, hide your word in our hearts. So, Sister Sunday's already put the verses in Corinthians. Thank you, Sunday. I appreciate that. That's our New Testament Passover or communion service. I'm going to add to it Exodus chapter 12, verses 5 through 14. Exodus 12, 5 through 14. And I'm just going to write that in my Bible tonight. Communion. Here we go. Thank you, Sunday. You guys done such an amazing job over there tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're a powerful team. Amen. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. God wanted all of them focused at the same time doing it. They shall take some of the blood, put it over the doorpost and the lintel. All right? Where they eat. Verse 8. They shall eat the flesh of it that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. Verse 11, and thus you shall eat it with your belt on your waist, with your sandals on your feet, so you shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, if you want to write right there by 11 and 12, Psalm 105:35, that's the verse that says, and they went out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one amongst them. The Passover lamb and the blood shed made every one of them healed from all their slavery. It says there wasn't even a feeble one. That means even the elderly were not feeble. Yeah. Everybody healed in one night by the Passover. 12. I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night. Will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Israel. This is Baal. This is where Baal comes from, or the gods of Egypt. Okay? I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Judgment causes us to get serious about who we are.
Yeah.
13. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Watch. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting covenant ordinance in Jesus' mighty name. 2 Corinthians Goodbye, board. Diligent. Have a good night. God bless you.
Diligent.
We've given board.
Board a last name now?
Yeah, yeah. Board's here all the time. So I said diligent. This is board. I'm just board diligent. All right. Some people might say I'm bored out of my mind. But those are wrong words. And we're saying I'm bored to the point of diligence. I mean, that's good. Bless you. We're glad you're with us. God bless you. We're not making fun of you in any way. We welcome you. Now, this is 1 Corinthians 11:23. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Well, that same thing Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Well, we don't eat right now because we're going to pray in a minute. In the same manner after supper, he also took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Evidently, Jesus thought often was actually the word often. 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man, this is the process, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love. Cast out fear and all the torment that goes with it. See, there is no fear in God's perfect love. Torment and trauma, I bind you. Release your grip from these people's lives on this day and on any other day this video is studied. All the way through the tribulation. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now, the answer is you must pray the prayer of salvation. Paul said, how do you do this right? Examine yourself. And then receive. When you examine yourself, you talk to God. God, how am I doing? If you got unforgiveness in your heart, right now, during the service, say, I forgive. And then go home and deal with that and get it out of your life so that you don't have anybody's face in your mind while you're praying at the altar of communion in Jesus' mighty name. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
Because I can tell you're missing from a few parts. Right? And that makes a mess. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life, Lord.
I receive you into my life, Lord.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my
with
life.
All of the fullness of God.
With all of the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
That glorious, amazing atmosphere that has now just invaded your being. People call it a feeling. Some people call it a rush. Hot water. One guy said warm honey. Well, what's going on is God Almighty is filling your very being. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 says, you are literally now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Why? Because you said, Jesus, I receive you. And Jesus said, you receive me, then you receive him who sent me, and that's the Father. And now you and I are joint heirs with Jesus. That means everything that Jesus has, joint heir. Jesus is life. So are you. Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith, and that lives in here. So faith lives in you. You don't have to work it up. Oh, I got faith. I'm making faith. No, it just lives in you. You already am it. Say it. I am faith.
I am faith.
Pastor, no, I'm not. You just canceled what is actually the truth. With the words of your mouth. Just say it. I am faith. You are. Why? Because faith is in you and you is what you am. That's not deep. Just think about it. You went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. Why? God came to live within you. He doesn't want you to be a denomination. He doesn't want you to be a church building. He doesn't want you to be religious. He doesn't want you to be some weird thing that somebody concocted of what a Christian is. He wants you to be a believer and walk with him every day. Thank God for denominations. They own buildings. They help people be organized. They have good conduct in a service. That's what they're designed for. But they're not designed to limit you from studying this word and to cause you to be shrunk down into a box of a bunch of rules and regulations when God Almighty lives on the inside of you and will lead you every day. Naturally, God led you here to us. So come back and be with us. I didn't come to get you because I don't do no advertising. God's our advertising. We do what we do because God sent us where he wanted us to be. And so like, subscribe, hit the bell, and stick with us. Now, send me an email. You'll find it right down there in the description of the program. And say, hey, Pastor, I just prayed a prayer tonight. I got verses to send you. I got videos to send you. I want you to grow and develop. God. That's what this program is all about. Helping you to grow and develop in God. A growing community of faith that have gathered together to study and believe the word for what it actually says. To be free from religiosity and live by faith. That's what we're all about. That's who we are. And we're glad you're here with us. When you wake up in the morning, every morning, you're going to have to train yourself to do this. Because some people wake up and swear, oh, no, another day. No, don't do that. That stops right now. Wake up and say, Father, help me walk with you today. And then talk to him all day long just like he is. Guess what? He'll begin to lead you. With me as your pastor, I'm praying over you every single day. You got dreams and visions all night long, and you come to the knowledge of Almighty God. I'm going to teach you diligently. Tonight was a great lesson all night long. I'm going to teach you diligently. And when you go home, you got to take what I taught and begin to work it into your daily life so that you can walk with God. And he's in here helping you. He's not out there somewhere trying to get through your thick skull. That's what your mama said. God's in here leading you from the inside out, and you'll make it out. Ready? Let's receive our communion elements together. Wow. What an experience. I love this. I'm glad all y'all are with us. Sister Leanne and I, we love this. Ready? Hold your elements up. Get you some grape juice and bread. Wow. And that just anointing just all over me. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on
you. And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing.
Every joint supplying
in my body
from your broken body in the body of Christ in my community and right here in this community of faith all the way around the world to Malaysia in Jesus mighty name we receive the broken body as such. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. Remember, everything we're praying right now, it's all verses of scripture about the blood of Jesus. The more you say it, the more down inside you know what the blood of Jesus does, and it'll begin to come out in conversations as you help other people know God. So don't just say this. Let this become revelation to you. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become
and
new.
I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
This is so important. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome the accuser of the brethren.
I overcome the accuser of the brethren.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes.
And I will always be,
and I will always be
the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And now, what's next? Oh, yeah, we sing a song about the blood of Jesus. And the anointing's just been so strong. There's just a couple times that I just wanted to stop and meditate. And it's like, oh, what's going on? Well, I know what's going on. It's God. He's here. He's in us. And he's changing our lives. Just receive. Listen, I know that what I experience here, God wants you to experience at your home. And the anointing destroys the yoke and removes that heavy burden. There's an anointing on the word. There's an anointing on preaching. There's an anointing on us gathering together. So you got three powerful anointings flowing right here. And then there's always the anointing to reach the lost. And we just did. And we're glad you're with us. Let's sing a song about the blood. Let's sing our original song about the blood. The blood. No, I got to go higher. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Ooh. Well, it's just you and I here on Zoom tonight, love. You reading or am I?
That Mary was here.
Mary,
did you leave? Mary
is not here, but it's all right, Mary. We love you. Well, really, we don't think it's all right, but no, we're not that way. We love you, Mary. Thanks for being with us. Thank you. Hold on, I just closed my Bible without my bookmark in it. I don't like doing that. There we go. Jude, verse 20. Wait, let me just show you my Bible. It's what your Bible should begin to look at. Like, you got pages and papers sticking out it, and note things all around it. Why? You can tell this is a well-read Bible. Why? These are the specific places I'm going to keep going back to. Why? I am getting these verses in my life. And there's times God will have you in one verse or one chapter, and you're not going to get out of it for a while. We spoke John chapter 17 over us every single day for day after day after day after day after day. Why? Faith comes by hearing and by the word of the Lord. You got to start. You should start holding up a card. Preaching or ending? Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's what praying in the Holy Ghost does for you. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction. But others say with fear, eating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Think about it. If you're in the mercy and the love of God and you're living in your most holy faith, that's going to give you exceeding joy. You'll be able to have joy right in the middle of teaching somebody about judgment and wrath. But you don't have to go through it. Come over to this side. To God our Savior, who alone is one, glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. Who's the kings? We're going to read it. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God. You and I are the kings. He's the ruler of. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. And when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says in verses 6 and 7, that we speak the hidden wisdom of God ordained for our glory. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you get into this glory, and this glory is Jesus, and it comes down upon us. God, please. Put your hands out and say, I receive my hundredfold return.
I receive my hundredfold return.
For being a faithful person here.
For being a faithful person.
To cause this message to be preached around the world.
To cause this message to be preached.
I receive it now, right now.
I receive it now.
So that we can use these finances to preach the gospel.
Amen. So that we can use these finances to preach the gospel.
And change our world.
And change our world.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
That's all we got for tonight. Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, we love you. Roger, Sunday, Gord Diligent, we love you. All y'all, other folk that's out there on YouTube we don't see, we love you. And we call you blessed in Jesus' name. May the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it be yours every single day. I didn't get my Read the Word done, so we'll be live and Read the Word here in another 45 minutes. Just watch your YouTube feed if you're still up, because it'll pop up in your YouTube news homepage that we're live. Click on it, and you'll be right here with us for Read the Word. We got Jesus into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, and now we're going to be in the last days of Jesus' life in his ministry on this earth, in Jesus' name. We'll be live tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, and we're dealing with dreams, and we're dealing with reading verses of scripture and speaking prayers over this great nation. If you want that prayer I prayed at the beginning, please text me or message me, instant message me, email me. The email's right there in the description. We'll be glad to be a blessing. If God has instructed you, been speaking to you about a sowing a financial seed in the ministry, we definitely appreciate that. We're working on getting 2 years, or we're working on getting a full year of finances in the bank for going live on Wilkins Radio. You want to sow to that? If you want to just sow to the daily operation of what we're doing, that would be a blessing to us, because every dollar helps us get done what we do. There's not a lot that we have to spend here, but it's not about what we have to spend. It's about the good soil for your seed if God's told you to sow it. You ain't never going to hear me come begging. So I ain't a beggar. If you want to know what's going on so you can help us, ask me. I'll be glad to tell you. Most of all, just obey God. That's all. Because there's some days he's going to sell, they give that guy $20 for his gas tank. And you got to be as faithful to that as you were to sow to the church. You looking for a place to tie? Good place to tie. You got lots of tithers. And we'll help you get it set up through the internet. We just love you. Want to be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
All right. Here we go.